did this, that at the end of chapter number 2, you're introduced to a couple of major characters that you're going to see throughout the rest of David's life. And one of them is a fellow by the name of Joab. And just for thought's sake, think of Joab as the general of David's armies. And another fellow by the name of Abner. And for that same sake, think of Abner as the general of Saul's armies. That's basically who they were. They were the leaders, commanders, whatever you want to call them. They were the heads of both of these two men's armies. And because of that, you know, they play an important part in the things that go on. Now, I know that Saul is dead, but Abner's still in the background trying to do some things. And as I said, at the end of chapter number 2, there's a little confrontation between the two groups. And actually, each one of them has some men with him, and they meet. And 12 of the men of Joab, 12 of the men of Abner, get up to have a little battle. It's a dozen on each side. And what they wind up doing, one of them is worse than a UFC fight. Every one of them dies from being stabbed by somebody in the other group. Every man dies. Now, Joab's still alive, and Abner's still alive, but their men, through this, some of their men, die. And it's like they got up, and it's kind of like, okay, whoever wins this, somebody's going to be the victor. Well, nobody won. It's 12 up and 12 down on both sides. So as it kind of winds up, Abner and his men try to leave. And as they're going, Joab's brother pursues Abner. And Abner tells him and says, don't do it. Leave me alone. Go on back and let's just call it quits. And you go. Well, he won't. He continues to come after Abner, and Abner kills him. He stabs him and kills him with his sword or knife or whatever it is that he's using as a weapon. And so Joab's brother is dead. Okay, keep that in your thinking. And I guess you would say it was rightfully so that Abner killed him because he pursued him. Okay, and he's saying, look, leave me alone, go back, get out of here, this is over. But he won't do it. He's coming after Abner, and he's thinking, I'll get the big prize and we'll end this thing. But it didn't end very well for Joab's brother. So all of those things have happened. And if you will, in verse number 1 of chapter number 3, begin reading with me there, if you will. Chapter number 3, verse number 1. And there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. And unto David were born in Hebron, under David were sons born in Hebron, and his first one was Amnon out of Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess. And his second, Chileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And his third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, daughter of Geshur. And the fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. And the fifth, Shephathiah, the son of Abital. And the sixth, Ithream by Eglah, David's wife. And these were born to David in Hebron. And it came to pass, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine, whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Ai. And Ish-bosheth said to Abner, wherefore hast thou gone in unto my father's concubine? Then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ish-bosheth, and he said, am I a dog's head which against Judah do show kindness this day unto the house of Saul thy father, to his brethren and to his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman? So do God to Abner, and more also, except as the Lord has sworn to David, even so I do to him, to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan even to Beersheba. And he could not answer Abner a word again because he feared him. Abner sent his messengers to David on this behalf, saying, "Whose is the land?" Saying also, "Make thy league with me." Now he's saying this to David. "And behold, my hand shall be with thee to bring about all Israel unto thee." And he said, "Well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee, that is, thou shalt not see my face, except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face." And David sent messengers to Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, saying, "Deliver me my wife Michal, which I espoused to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistines." And Ish-bosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Phaltiel, the son of Laish. And her husband went with her along, weeping behind her to Bahurim. And Abner said unto him, "Go, return." And he returned. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, "You sought for David in time past to be king over you. Now then, do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, 'By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies.' And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin. And Abner also went to speak in the ears of David and Hebron all that seemed good to Israel and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner came to David to Hebron and 20 men with him. And David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, 'I will arise and go and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth.' And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for loving us and giving us this time here. Thank you for your word. I pray now, bless it, use it now to just give us wisdom and insight and understanding in the things of God. We'll praise you for that tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you might just speak to our hearts and show us some things that we need to know about you and how our lives can count better and more powerfully and more accurately for you. God, will you just do that? And if there's somebody that's lost hearing these words, will you speak to them? Show them their need of Christ and salvation. And we'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight on this thought, if you will. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. We're going to talk about nobles, knaves, and negotiators. That's who we're going to talk about this evening, because that's who we're going to look at. Now, again, just to give you an idea, we'll throw back up the map, and you can see where the situation is as far as who has got what under their control. Everything that you see below this green line here, where you see Jerusalem and some other cities, that is the kingdom of Judah, and that is where David is currently the king. That's where they crowned him, and that's where they put him. If you remember that we talked about him being here in Hebron, this is kind of his capital city. Ziklag was where he and his men were, and then it got burned to the ground, and all the things that happened through that. And up here's Ish-bosheth. He's been the king of the upper part of the kingdom. And now we're about to see this whole thing getting ready to come together. It's all going to be under the direction and the kingship of David. And I just want you to see the little map there. That kind of helps you, get you some things in your head so you can understand some of the names and some of the places and all that. And, you know, for some folks it doesn't make any difference, but sometimes I like to see where things are so it just makes better sense to me. But as you see that, you see that at this time, really, the kingdom that's in the upper part, we'd say the northern part, is bigger than what David has under his control. But that's okay, because David understands that God has spoken to him that he's going to put him a king over all of Israel one day. Now, you gotta understand that. I mean, you know, when you look at this in chapter number 3 and verse number 1, that very first verse says this: "Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David." I mean, this wasn't an overnight thing. What I think you and I need to understand sometimes is
There are periods of waiting in our lives. There are times when you're expecting God to do something, and if you're like me, you want it done right now. Amen? I mean, isn't that us? We want, hey, God, you said this, let's do it today. You said you're going to save my loved one. Let's do it today. We don't understand God's timing sometimes. And we know God says he's going to do some things and God acts in some ways. I mean, remember that Peter writes about and says, you know, people that are the scoffers will say, where is the promise of his coming? We've heard it all our lives and he hadn't come yet. We don't believe he's coming. And he said, let me tell you something. One day is as 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years is one day. You don't understand God's clock. You don't understand God's calendar. I don't understand. But I can tell you this, God will do what he says he's going to do. And he'll do it in his time. And, I mean, I'd read this and I'd think, well, God, just boom, snap your finger and David's king and blah, 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 it's all over. It didn't happen that way. It doesn't happen. And think of that, if you will. Convert that to a little spiritual thinking, too. Can I tell you, I'll just say that we're in a battle in this world, okay? And you're in a personal battle. You're fighting your flesh. You're fighting your desires and wants and your heart on the inside of you sometimes that gets out of place and out of the will of God. You're fighting those things. And you know when you do that, sometimes you're thinking, God, I want you to get me victory over this. Hey, and sometimes it's going to take a little bit of time to work through some of the things of your life. Okay? So I'm just saying, I want you to understand that thinking and all of that kind of stuff right now. So let's look at this, if you will. Let's look at it. First of all, let's look at David's rise and increase. There are some things that are going on in David that we'll say could even, again, be applicable to us in a spiritual sense. So David has got to write. Look what it says there in verse number 1. It said, now there was a long war. Now, this wasn't a few weeks. This wasn't a few months. This was a few years that this civil war, that's what we might as well call it, civil war, between all the people of Israel was going on. They was fighting among themselves. Can I tell you, you fight among you. Your war goes on right here a lot of times within you. Your old flesh stinks. Your old flesh wants to do this. And your spirit says, no, that ain't right. And your flesh said, but I want to. Your spirit said, God said. And your flesh said, but I won't. And you're in that battle. And it goes on sometimes at length. I mean, it's not a, well, I got that book today. Can I tell you, it'll come back again. Amen. Remember what your Bible tells you about Jesus? It says that Jesus went out into the wilderness, and there he was tempted 40 days. He went without food 40 days and 40 nights. And then the devil came and tempted him. And if you know when that, you know, he answered, the devil would say this, and Jesus would answer him with the word of God, and the devil would say that, and it kind of went back and forth. And it said, then that the devil left him, what? For a season. What does that mean? That's the same thing that happens to me and you. You're not going to win the battle and say, don't ever have to fight with that again. I beg your pardon, it may show up tomorrow. It may show up in a week. It may show up at some period down the road. But, hey, just get this, honey. It ain't over when you think it's over. Amen? So David is fighting a battle. David's fighting a battle. But I want you to notice the rise of David and his increase. First of all, notice David's fortification. Look what it says there, verse number 1. Now, there was a long war between David, the house of Saul and the house of David. Look, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. So somebody's getting a little advantage in this thing. And David is becoming stronger. And we think of David, we always talk about him, the man after God's own heart. Here he is, in a spiritual sense, if you will, getting stronger and stronger. And the house of Saul, which is headed up by Ish-bosheth, he's getting weaker and weaker. He's getting weaker and weaker. Well, we'll come to church and shout the roof off. And you think, whoa, am I hitting that? Now look out, and I think that's coming down the road.
not only that, I want you to notice David's family. Now, we're talking about David's rise and increase. Look what it says. Verse number 2. And unto David were sons born in Hebron. And the firstborn was Amnon of Ahinoam, the Jezreelites. And the second, Chileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And you go down through this list of these six sons that were born. I don't know if y'all been keeping count or not, but the last time we talked about David leaving Ziklag, he had three wives. Y'all remember that? He does talk about those first three. He talks about those first three wives and said they were down there in Ziklag and David rescued them. But all of a sudden, we're up to six. We've doubled. Something's happened. I mean, you know, there's something going on. And so if you look at this, David has, as it is noted for us, a son born to every one of these women that are named. Now, I know, and I guess just for a historical note, that's what kings did in those days. Kings made agreements with other countries or other areas, other kingdoms. They would make an agreement with them, and the way they would make those agreements many times is that king that was being part of the agreement, I'll give you my daughter to be your wife, and that will join our kingdoms together. As a matter of fact, you know that was the proposal that Saul made in the beginning for David to have Michal as his wife. He said, I'm going to give you my daughter, and that's going to make you my son-in-law, and that's going to put you in this thing, and you're going to be in line to be the heir of the kingdom. I mean, that's the way things worked in that day. And let me just tell you this, and ladies, I'm sorry. I mean, this is just the way that it is. Women were just a commodity. Women were just treated even as slaves. I mean, can you imagine? Remember, we talked about this before, how that you say, well, why would so-and-so marry so-and-so? She wasn't in love with it. Love didn't have a whole lot to do with it. I mean, it's just like, you're going to marry him. That's the way it is. Well, he's an ugly, snaggle-toothed, just a horrible guy. But you're still going to marry him. Because I said so. Daddy set that up. Amen? I mean, wasn't that, hey, I bet you there ain't one of y'all in this room that Daddy set up your marriage. Right? I mean, I don't think so. If they are, y'all come tell me about it, and I think it'll be a great story, but I don't think so, okay? Most of the time, today, you know, the man and woman get married are the ones that done the choosing and getting together and all that. But in that day, it was different. In that day, it was different. And especially in the royal circles, it was a whole lot different. Amen? Now, I don't know if y'all have noticed this or not, if you're paying attention to it too much. I mean, we get all of the news from England, right? I could care less about Prince Charles and Diana and all that mess, and now King Charles and whatever her name is. Well, I don't know, Kamala's what I was going to call her, but that ain't it. Close. Anyway, somebody he's married. Anyway, I don't care, okay? But everybody in the world eats that stuff up, right? And if you go and listen to it sometime, you'll find out that, well, you know, one of the children here, they can't marry a commoner. Okay? What's wrong with that? But, oh no, you've got to be upper crust. You've got to have money and place in society and blah, 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 all that. And, you know, it still goes on to what I'm saying. There's still some of it around today. So don't get lulled into thinking everything's, you know, the way that you and I think it is. So it just wasn't in that day, though. It wasn't. So David has his family. Okay, what happens is when a man got married, a king, a ruler, whatever he was, when he got married, he had all these wives, they had all these kids, and then it strengthened that bond with that kingdom because now this guy plus the guy that is the king of this land and the other country, they've got an heir. And it was one of those things, like the more you got, the better it is. So here's David. He's got six sons. Now, there are daughters born. We'll find that out later. But the men are the only ones that count. Sorry, ladies. But the men are the only ones that count right now. And you'll notice that you hear that. David's got six of them. So here's David, and his family is on the increase. His family is on the upswing, if you will. There's a lot of sons born to David. All right? And you
think, well, here's David's on the right. I want you to look at something. David's forgetting. We're forgetting something. I want you to take your Bible and look backwards with me, if you will, into the book of Deuteronomy. Look into Deuteronomy. Look at chapter number 17. Deuteronomy chapter number 17. And let's just read a few verses there. This is the Lord speaking through Moses and to Moses about how this thing's supposed to go. Look in verse number 14, chapter 17, Deuteronomy, verse number 14. Listen, this is the Lord. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shall thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But listen, he shall not multiply horses to himself, or cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. Yes, that is the word W-I-V-E-S, wives. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levite, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law, and to do these statutes, or to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, that he turn not aside from the commandment, to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. David forgot something, didn't he? I mean, God just told him. He said, you can't do this, and I'm commanding, don't do this. Believe it or not, God was still a one-woman man for David. He said, David, you got a wife, and you get one wife, and that's it. That's your wife. I don't care what Saul has done. I don't care how Saul has taken her from you. I don't care how Saul has even given her to somebody else to be a wife. That's your wife. But you know what David did? Well, I want to be like everybody else, and I got me six other ones now. Right? I mean, what David did? He's multiplied them, and that's against the Word of God. Can I tell you this? You can think what you want to think. You can reason how you want to reason, but you better go back and check it out with God's Word. That's why David, and why the writing of Moses was such. He said, write this down in a book, keep that book with you, and read that book, and understand this is what God said. You know what God said to us? The same thing. I've got you a book, get you a book, read you a book, and stay with what the book says. Amen? That's why we're in such a mess today. David got himself into a world of hurt because of the things that he did with these women that he should not have had as his family. Amen? What do you mean? Well, I mean, look at that very first one. It said his firstborn was a boy named Amnon. Y'all remember the story of Amnon? Amnon was the boy, and we're going to, of course, we'll read this later on. But Amnon was the boy that had such a, just a liking and fussing head over heels for his stepsister or half-sister, Tamar, that he faked being sick and had all this stuff. And then he actually goes into a place where he winds up raping her. And then you know what happens? A fellow by the name of Absalom comes along, who is Tamar's brother, and he kills Amnon. Whether he's his half-brother or not, he kills him and he hates him and he despises him. Can I tell you, something didn't go right there? David was off base in what he should have been doing, and here he is. He winds up paying a penalty. That's not the only one out of this whole bunch. As a matter of fact, we just got through talking about Absalom. Absalom's the guy that rebels against David. You see who it says his mom is? It says that in the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. She's a She's a Gentile, and her daddy's a king, and David's trying to make a pact with him. And she probably teaches that little boy, you're of royal blood. Your grandpa's a king, and your daddy's a king, and you can be a king. And she, they ain't no telling what she poured into that boy. And in the end, it winds up turning out to be a terrible scene in the life of David. This boy rebels, tries to take over the kingdom, and winds up getting killed by Joab, as a matter of fact, when we go and read. But I'm just telling you, hey, David forgot something. And what I'm saying is this, me and you need to remember what God says. Because can I tell you, you can do whatever you want. As somebody said, you're free to make the choices you want to make, but you are not free from the consequences of those choices. Okay, so first of all, there's David's rise and increase. Second of all, let's look at this real quick. David's rival has an incident. David's rival, okay, we're talking about Joab here. There's something that happens that comes along, and we'll say, first of all, in this incident, there's some foolish words. I mean, you read the story here of Abner and Ish-bosheth. Look what it says there in verse number 7. It says, and Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Ai. And Ish-bosheth said unto Abner, wherefore hast thou gone in unto my father's concubine? Now, you say, what happened? Well, can I tell you, we don't know for sure. I mean, there's an accusation made, but is it true or is it not true? We don't know for sure. We're never really told whether it's true or not true. But Ish-bosheth says, how dare you go in and take my father's concubine, which was his property, which was a woman, again, that was part of Saul's harem, if you will. She wasn't even a wife. She was just a gal, and the story is that Abner went in and had a sexual relationship with this woman. That's the story. And so he comes at him and he makes this charge. Now, as I say, we're not told too much. It seems pretty foolish for him to come and make that charge. I mean, if he's the king, all he's got to do is tell somebody, say, y'all go kill Abner because here's what he did, if he's got the right kind of proof. We don't know what Abner did. We have no idea. We've got, you know, his word against Abner's word. That's all we've got in what we're reading here. But it's a foolish word. Now, it looks like to me, Ish-bosheth, and I'm just looking at it, you look at it, you read it, it looks like he's a little bit intimidated by Abner. If you'll notice what the Bible tells you in verse number 6, it said, it came to pass, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. Didn't say that Ish-bosheth did, but it said Abner strengthened his position. And it may have looked like to Ish-bosheth that Abner was getting ready to take him out and take over the kingdom. That might have been the way that he felt. We don't know that, but that could have been the way that he felt. So he had to find something to come up with to get Abner out of the way. So he makes this set of foolish words that he spouts out and says, how dare you? Because if a man did do that, then that is the same as saying, I'm going to take over the kingdom. But you don't see anybody else accusing Abner of it. You don't see Abner coming out and saying anything. You don't see anything where Abner says, I'm getting ready to kick this dude out and I'm going to take over. But he thought, well, I got to get rid of Abner. That's my thinking. As I say, we don't know that for sure, but he's seen the growing influence of Abner, and now he's a little bit worried, so he makes this foolish accusation toward him. But I want you to notice this. Look in verse number 8. You see some foolish words, but you see a fiery wrath coming out from Abner. Then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ish-bosheth, and said, am I a dog's head, which against Judah do show kindness this day unto the house of Saul thy father, to his brethren and to his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou charge He said, who do you think you are? And what does that make me in your eyes by you making this accusation? I mean, he got fired up. Amen? I mean, Abner is upset. Now, when you look at this, this is Abner and Ish-bosheth and that whole dynamic is the side of our flesh if we're not careful. And I'll tell you, there'll be some stuff happening that'll fire your flesh up. You ever get around stuff and it just fires you up? And you're wondering, what am I getting so fired up? But because the devil wants to try to fire you up. He wants to distract you. He wants to drag you through stuff. He wants to get you into some places that you don't need to be. And he'll do whatever he can to get you there. And that's what's going on with this thing. And Ish-bosheth is thinking, boy, if I can get Abner out of the way, I'll take over. We'll go down there. We'll take David out. And I'll be the king of everything. But I want to tell you something. God's still in control. God's still in charge of everything that's going on. Here's a fiery word. And look, Abner says, okay, if that's the way it is, look what he says. So do God to Abner. He said, I hope the Lord does this to me, and more also, except as the Lord has sworn to David, even so I do to him. To translate the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to set up the throne of David over Israel, over Judah, from Dan even to Beersheba. And then, boy, let me tell you something. Hey, he said, I tell you what, he said, if that's the way it is, I'm turning in my resignation, and I'm going to go help David take this whole kingdom over. I'm going to go help him. He got him fired up enough that he just completely turned on the king that he had helped install, that he had helped back, that he had been there. All of those things are turning in a bad direction. And what you see is this. You see a fearful weakling before you. Look what it says. Verse number 11. And he, and that's talking about Ish-bosheth, could not answer Abner a word again because he feared him. Fear will get you. Fear will knock you down. Fear will put you in a place you don't want to be in a lifetime. So here's the rival and the incident that happens there between Ish-bosheth and Abner. But God is working this thing in the right direction. God has called it. And as I say, you got to think about this, that we said there's been a long war. Things have gone on. Wasn't just, poof, here's David, he's king after Saul's dead. That's kind of what you and I would have thought. Well, Saul's dead, David's king. Hadn't worked that way. This is probably now, according to a lot of the Bible scholars, probably been 7 years that all of this has been going on. 7 long years, and this is a mess. I mean, this is a mess. And look, let's notice, last of all, David's response to this invitation from Abner. First of all, notice that as Abner gets ready to turn to the other side, if you will, you'll notice Abner deals with some contact and diplomacy. Look what it said in verse 12. And Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, whose is the land? Who's the king of all this now? He said, it should be you, David. Saying also, make thy league with me, and behold, my hand shall be with thee to bring about all Israel unto thee. He said, look, let's do this, and let's make it a diplomatic situation. And David said, and he said, well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require thee, that is, thou shalt not see my face except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face. He said, I'll make a deal with you, but here's my conditions. Bring my wife, Michal, with you. If you want this thing to work out, bring Michal with you. Now, you know, somebody say, boy, David must have really loved Michal. I don't know. We're going to read some other things. Some things are going to happen. And I don't know. I think Michal loved David. If you look back and you see when David was on the run, she hid him out and she helped him out and she put a dummy in the bed to make it fool the soldiers. I mean, there's all kinds of things she did. And it told story how David loved Michael. And I don't know. I don't know. I hope he did, but we're not told that. It just makes you feel like David's a user. And David is going to use this girl, and he's gonna show the solidarity. I mean, he's got to have her to make this thing work because she's the king's daughter. And it makes him look good in everybody's eyes because she was the former king's daughter. And they had been married and all that. I don't know how much love there was in it, but I sure do hope there was some. Amen? Because that's a rotten place to be in. But that's what's going on. So here David says, okay, you can come see me, but you better bring Michael when you come. And it said David sent messengers to Ish-bosheth and saying, deliver me my wife Michael, which I espoused to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. And Ish-bosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Phaltiel, the son of Laish. And her husband went with her along weeping behind her to Bahurim. And Abner said unto him, go, return. And he returned. Can you feel sorry for anybody in this Bible any more sorry than you can this fellow? I mean, they're escorting his wife. And they're escorting her away to go be David's wife. And he's walking along behind them crying his eyes out, brokenhearted. I mean, look, according to everything you can kind of understand, she was a wife. She was probably a mother. She was happy. She had a home. And now, come on, you're leaving. And this guy's brokenhearted. He's tore up over the whole situation. But Abner said, come on, you're going with me. And she does. And I don't know. I don't know where her heart is. She's been separated from David for years now. Can you imagine? Somebody said, can you imagine when she finally gets there and Abner says, here's Michael. And Michael says, hello, honey. He said, glad to have you home. And she said, what's these other six ladies running around here thinking you're so happy to see me? Amen. What's this all about? Where'd all them kids come from? Oh, well, never mind them. I'm glad to see you. Yeah, that don't sound like a real good story, does it? But what I'm saying is this. Hey, you gotta realize that you're making messes. You're going to live in them sometimes. Situations that, you know, a lot of times, the devil does. The devil didn't do nothing here. David does it. Say amen to that right there. He's the one that caused every bit of this stuff that's going on with these other women. This was David's, just his weakness, his downfall, his problem was going to be these women. And you know what he does? He passes it on to his son. Solomon does the same thing, only worse. Solomon had more wives and like the little boy said, you know, Solomon had so many wives and 800 porcupines. I mean, he had a bunch of women. I mean, he had a harem full of them. And I'm telling you, all it did was it showed up. And I'm telling you this, your sin may show up with your kids and it may be amplified and magnified in their lives. So you better follow the word of God. It's the best thing you can do. And I'm telling you, this is a guy that we're saying, David's a man after God's own heart. But I'm telling you, here we are, and David's in a mess. But you see the contact and the diplomacy? Look at the communication after that. David tells him, he said, okay, I'll do it. In verse number 17, and Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, you sought for David in time past to be king over you. Now, then, do it. He said, y'all been wanting it? Do it. Do it. This is it. He said, this is my directive to you. This is what you wanted, so let's do it. He said, you sought for David? Now then, do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hands of the Philistines, out of the hands of all their enemies. And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin. And Abner went also to speak in the ears of David and Hebron, all that seemed good to Israel, and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner came to David, to Hebron, and 20 men with him. And David and Abner and the men that were with him had a feast. They made a feast. Amen? They got together, and Abner told everybody to do it. Now, if you're wondering why such a big deal about separating the idea about Benjamin out of the tribe of Benjamin. That was the tribe that Saul came from. That was the tribe that Saul was part of. That was the tribe that Saul started out and made soldiers out of them. And, you know, that was a big deal. So if they could win Benjamin, which was Saul's home people, if you will, and they got the rest of Israel, then everything looked like it would go well. And it did. And don't you notice this? You see, there was a communion and a decree. They got together. It said, and David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, I will arise and go and gather all Israel unto the Lord my king, that they may make a league with him, that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. And you know, that's what David was wanting, was peace for the whole land. He wanted to be the king. He wanted God's will to be done. He wanted to be what God wanted him to be. And let me just tell you this. The only way that some of these things are going to work out for me and you in our lives is for you and me to let the Holy Spirit take over in our lives. And somebody said it like this. Let the Holy Spirit go from a resident in your heart to the president of your heart. Amen? You let the Holy Spirit take over in your life, and he'll work out a lot of the complications and the issues that you could have because of some of the things that you have done. David's looking for peace. David's wrong. Ish-bosheth is still alive, but that's soon going to change. Abner becomes a friend and going to be moving up, but that's soon going to change. There's some things that are going to happen in the next little bit of this story. And God's still working his plan. It's still going slow. But God knows what he's doing. Amen? Can I tell you, he still knows what he's doing in your heart and in your life tonight? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's sing.